I know everyone has memories of cracking open some wonderful pistachios. I used to always throw a bag of the classic roasted, salted, wonderful pistachios in the cart when I was grocery shopping growing up. And I remember always having a bowl going in the kitchen while cracking them open. Roasted Salted is still my classic, but recently I've been trying all the flavors, and I must say, even though I love in-shell pistachios for the activity of cracking them open, Wonderful Pistachios, no shell, salt and vinegar might just be my new favorite.
Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. There's 6 grams of protein per 1 ounce serving. That's packing a protein punch. Chili roasted, honey roasted, sea salt and pepper, jalapeno lime. There are so many flavors to try out, and Wonderful Pistachios has become one of my favorite snacks recently. I need my snacks to be a good source of protein, and I love when I can eat snacks with my hands. It's easy, it's fun. What more can you ask for?
I also really like using the no-shell pistachios from Wonderful Pistachios to put on salads or rice bowls. Spring and summer salads are going to be so good. I can't wait to add the jalapeno lime ones to a fresh salad, and I've been using the chili roasted flavor on top of rice bowls recently. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more and find out where you can get Wonderful Pistachios near you.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts, Anne Catherine
and Caroline. And this week we want to talk about prioritizing your peace or balancing your life in a way that naturally prioritizes your peace, or just talking about like finding peace and having peace in general, because like it's just not as easy as it sounds.
So I know, I feel like when you're aligned and feeling the peace, you know what I mean? Like, when everything's working out, you're like, oh my god, this is so easy. Life is so easy. It's all so easy. Like, it's working out.
But one when it thing doesn't,
you're
track.
Like, huh, it's, but then it's like easy to fall out of that. And then you're like, huh, how do I get back? And then you're like, so like, I feel like it's black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot. But let's talk about how you can kind of keep it peaceful.
I guess just what we've been feeling about trying to find more consistent peace, and like our strategies for it, our mindsets, and what we think would be helpful for you guys.
The idea of like protect your peace or like keep your peace came from there. We had this concept, or I guess we've both been thinking about this concept or talking about this concept, and then our roommate Anna, you guys know her, you guys love her.
Well, she's our roommate again because we're in Boston.
Oh,
now.
Oh yeah, we'll get into that.
Okay.
But then she said something like protect your peace, and then I was like, okay, that's what we're gonna name the title. Yeah. That's the how we're gonna label this concept.
Yeah. Because we were talking about what we've been talking about, and we just didn't really have that like name for it until she said that. Which I guess protect your peace is kind of like a. It's definitely, like, a statement. It's one of your, like, classic statements. But then it's, like, diving in, like, what does that actually mean?
I can
like,
see it on a t-shirt.
Your peace, what does that mean? So that's kind of...
Yeah. And we're just, like, I don't know. The vibes are just, like, stay with yourself. Like, do what you want.
Stay
keep
peaceful.
Aligned. But keep then, your priorities straight. Yeah. Like, vibe out.
Yeah, but then also how to do that realistically. Because a big thing that, like, I've been trying to work out and thinking about is, like, I think there's a difference between keeping your peace, like, just with yourself and then continuing to keep peace when you have, like, responsibilities and school and other people. And, like, how do you
yeah.
keep those all peaceful at the same time? Because it's a lot easier said than done, protect your peace when you're thinking kind of just with myself, you know? Being peaceful, like, with myself, doing what I want, but the reality is that there's like just a lot to life, and there's a lot of difficult things we have to go through, or just things that we have to manage all at once. So I think it's easier said than done. So we want to talk through our strategies and our mindsets around how to balance all those things out in your life in a way that kind of protects your peace through all of these different aspects of your life, as well as just with yourself and having that peace and confidence, but also contentment with yourself.
All right, so highs, lows, goals, updates, if you will, getting into the episode. Do you have a high for the week?
Well, we're sitting in our new living room, so I think that's just a general overarching high.
True.
is that we...
It's hot in here.
It's really hot. It's really hot. So we're in our new apartment in Boston. We've been here for a few days now. And I like it a lot.
It is really cute. You guys know we came, like, sight unseen. Our roommate saw it when we were away. And we were like, yeah, sounds good. So, I mean, I've seen pictures, obviously, mm-hmm. and videos. But I've never stepped foot mm-hmm. in here. And it's adorable. I love it. Yeah. It's small, but, like, love to love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's, like, a perfect location. It's, like, the exact location where I wanted to be within Boston and also around our school's campus.
Quite literally, like, we were down to, we knew we wanted one singular street.
Yeah.
Which, and it's a small street. We needed to be on one side of the street because, like, sunlight and stuff. So we were really limited. And we also needed
a 3-bedroom, which was kind of rare. So we literally had, like, one option. We didn't even see it.
No, quite literally, we had one option. We were like, sounds good.
That's it. And so we've had this place, or, like, kind of on lock for months now. But we had never seen it. We stepped in first day, like, literally while we were moving in. And, I mean, all seems to be going well. It's a small apartment in general, but, like, that's what you're going to get with any sort of city apartment. And for what it is, like, it's bright because we're on a kind of top floor. So we're sitting in our living room kitchen right now. It's all kind of one space. But there's a window. There's a skylight. So it feels very bright in here. We've got some exposed brick going on, mm-hmm. which really, like, adds to the vibes. There's also two stories. So in Catherine and I's rooms are on different floors.
Which is great.
Was, like, a really good thing for us and was, like, top priority to kind of give us a little bit of space.
Oh, I love it. I'm on the top floor. It's literally just me. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the kitchen and living room.
And then Anna and I are downstairs. Yeah. I mean, I really like it so far. So I guess that's my overall high is, like, just the excitement of moving into this new place, liking it in general, because it'd be awful if you hated it. And, of course, it's, like, not perfect. Nothing is. But there's so many good things about it that I'm really happy about and excited to have my own space and live a bit more independently. So that's definitely my high.
My high is beyond Boston because we're not having the same high. The last, like, couple days of me being at home, I really just, I put packing on the low, and I knew I would get it done when I get it done, and I just, like, said yes to all the plans and did a lot, so much, like, outdoor time. Like, my friend and I do not know how to surf very well. Like, guys, I had a surfing phase maybe, like, a few, like, 4 years ago. It's been, like, a solid 4 years. Like, I can't claim it. We're so beyond it, but, like, this past week, I feel like I've been in a surfing phase, so I was just, like, not that I'm a good surfer. Like, I can stand up for a real one, but that's about it. But it was really fun to just be, like, out on the beach literally 24/7, which I was on the beach 24/7 this summer. But to be, like, okay, last little, like, blitz of doing this before I'm no longer near, like, a body of water. I guess I, like, run by the water here, but you can't go in that thing. The Charles. But it's good to be in Boston and get some fall. I feel like Boston is a very fall energy.
Yeah,
of a city. Fall here so is like
so nice because there's like if brick, it cools there's down, a lot of I'll trees. When go. The trees turn like the leaves turn red and there's all the brick. It's really pretty. And it's nice, like crisp. Like before it gets too cold, it's like sunny but crisp weather. I think fall is gonna be really fun. But it's not even the end of summer yet. The end of summer isn't actually until the end of September. But I guess in your mind, it's, like, when school starts, when the weather changes.
No, quite like, literally. Like, September 1st, it should be a light breeze. Oh, it's going to be rainy the next...
Really?
Couple days. Jesus, Tuesday's going to be cold and rainy. Well, kind of into it. Wait, it's going to be... Sorry, just checking the weather app here, like, intermission. So that's it. You have a low. Oh, my God, my low.
Okay, yeah.
Fuck, I thought we're done with, like, our low being sleep.
Yeah, no, don't say it, because we literally said that last week. I was going to repeat of last week where I feel like I don't even have, like, a distinct low. I don't know. I guess I'm, like, protecting my peace these past few days. But no, it can't be sleep, so...
My low is I'm, like, nine. Well, okay, side note, this is not my low. Legally speaking, this is not my low, so it doesn't denote the sleep rule. My bed, I didn't quite choose the firmness. Caroline just, like, ordered double of her mattress because I needed a mattress. So she's like, oh, okay, I'll just get another. Who orders, like, 0% firmness of a mattress?
It's, like, a super thick memory foam. So it's not supposed to be super soft.
But you sit and you, like, lie down and it feels like you're in a hammock, which is in, like, not a good way. I'm just like, ugh. I'm not a big, like, squishy soft mattress.
It was
one of
the most popular mattresses. I thought it was a safe bet.
Okay, well, I have not been sleeping. I've been tossing and turning because I like a firmer mattress and that's about it. Okay, but my low for real is I am bloated like I'm 9 months pregnant. So
That's, and I keep wearing pants that I know will, like, make, you know, sometimes pants are, like, great, amazing, but if you're the slightest bit bloated, you will look like a balloon, and you're, you know what I mean? So some,
yeah,
some
pants reason, that are perfect when, like, you're feeling perfect, mm-hmm. and then otherwise,
but otherwise
yeah,
they're,
go
like,
back and forth.
Actually
yeah.
atrocious. Well, tell me why me being 9 months pregnant, sized bloated, I've been choosing the pants that really do you so dirty in that case scenario. So I'm doing it to myself, but right. that's where we're at the moment. That's my low.
The only low, oh, here's my low. I really want a desk for my room, and I guess I'm glad I didn't order a desk before I came, because I really didn't know the dimensions of my room and stuff, and it is quite small, and I put a whole queen bed in there. But, like, I want a desk in my room, because I don't want to sit on my bed and do work. Like, I just can't. I want my bed to be my, like, cozy, sleepy sanctuary. Like, I'm not sitting on my bed and doing work. I just know that that's not good for me, and I need the separation. I also, like, don't necessarily want to be always in my living room or in my kitchen, because, again, like, those are places that have their places. I know, obviously, I'm going to go to the library and, like, go to places to work and study, but, like, I want a desk in my room where I can, one, study, but also have a place to, like, get ready and sit at and do makeup and stuff like that. But my room is quite small, and I just don't know, like, if a desk would even fit. But I think I could fit a small one, but now I have to, like, find a small one and deal with that. So I guess, if anything, that's just been, like, a task or a little bit of a low, because I was just really frustrated because there was, like, a gorgeous vanity desk that I knew I really wanted, but it's just way too big. It wouldn't fit there. So I'm going to have to figure out an alternative, but I'm sure that it will work out. And for now, I mean, I've got a bedroom, I've got a living room. I'm going to be okay.
If you love listening to Girls with Goals and other podcasts like ours, and you've ever thought about making your own, then let's talk about Anchor.
First off, it's free, which is amazing because there are so many cool things you can do with Anchor to make your podcast a reality. You can record and edit right on Anchor using your phone or your computer, and then Anchor will distribute your episodes to Spotify, Apple, anywhere you want your podcast, Anchor does it for you.
Anchor works with Spotify, so you can add any song straight from Spotify into your podcast. You can even make money off of your podcast through Anchor. It's really just everything you would need or want in one place.
So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Do you want to learn a new language? Maybe for an upcoming trip, maybe to better connect with friends who speak other languages, maybe you just want a new skill. Rosetta Stone is going to help get you there. When talking about Rosetta Stone, I always think about when we were maybe 5 years old and our dad started traveling to China for work. He used Rosetta Stone for Mandarin, and obviously Caroline and I would use it too, especially when we found out that we were going to move to Asia. That is such a core memory for me, and I can so vividly remember speaking into the computer, listening to the audio and like matching it so vividly. And the best thing about Rosetta Stone is that Rosetta Stone offers a lifetime membership. So you can buy the program now and get forever access to all the lessons, all the languages, forever. So I've been using this lifetime membership to pick back up my Mandarin, and let me tell you, Rosetta Stone is incredible. The way that it is so immersive has me back to being confident in my Mandarin so quickly, and you can even start from scratch. Of course, they have 25 languages to learn, and it's immersive. You learn it naturally, and you should definitely check it out. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Girls with Goals listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
When you have big goals and a busy schedule, like all Girls with Goals listeners do, because that is exactly why we are here, it can be so difficult to actually find time for wellness. Even though it's a core value for all of us, small wellness habits can easily be buried by everything we have going on. This is why we have Fleur Marché. Fleur Marché delivers simple, quality, affordable wellness solutions for life's daily challenges. It's founded by women and inspired by the female dreamers, hustlers, and activists on the front lines of change, and their mission is to help you feel 100% every single day with fun and easy-to-understand plant-powered wellness products. Caroline and I have both been using the Fleur Marché Botanical Wellness Patches and have really, really enjoyed them because they're so easy and honestly so cool. They're different than a lot of the products I've used in the past for sleep, relaxation, focus, and relief, which are just some of the patches that Fleur Marché offers. Because they're both effective and fun, I think that's why I've been more intentional about this wellness habit with Fleur Marché, because I actually enjoy using the patches. So go check out all the patches and all the products that Fleur Marché has for you and try them for yourself.
Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarche.com and get special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with the promo code GOALS at checkout. Go to fleurmarche.com and use code GOALS for 20% off your first order.
I don't know. I feel like I'm doing pretty good with just, like, everything. Recently, I don't know, my room the past few days, even while we're moving, has been super clean. Like, I've been keeping the kitchen clean. I've done my grocery shopping, like, gone for walks. I went for a run the other day, and it felt so good.
That's so like, good.
Like, best run I've had in a while. Like, it felt super easy. I guess my goal would be to get my, like, schedule organized.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Set mm-hmm. a new schedule, because I don't even know when my classes are.
Yeah, you need to figure that out. I keep asking Catherine, like, about her class schedule, and she's like, I don't know.
Like, you can look I can look it up.
In 5 minutes. Just log in.
Yeah, but do I know my password even?
Yes.
I remember in Singapore, and I got logged out, and you have to, like, dual authenticate, but my phone number had changed, obviously, because I moved, and then I just couldn't get in, so I haven't opened my school email in, like, 9 months.
So you should open it.
I'm probably missing a lot.
Yeah. I think my goal is also to, like, establish my routine and get into my routine, but I've been doing it kind of slowly in phases. Like, you guys know a couple episodes ago, the episode was about how to get out of a slump, because, you know, I just felt very kind of, like, slumped and burnt out in different categories of my life. And a huge thing that I talked about with that was knowing that you have ultimate control and you can take the power back when you want to, but you don't necessarily have to do that right away. You can kind of take the steps to just get yourself comfortable with it and prepare to it, and also, like, lean into, like, the chill vibes and give yourself a rest break and just kind of think about what you want to do when you're ready for that comeback, but kind of ease into it. Because I just think, like, anytime I'm a very, like, full speed ahead, 0 or 100, and I'm trying to kind of slow myself down in the sense, or let myself live a bit more in the in-between. So getting into a new routine here, I kind of have been taking it in phases a little bit, and it's also kind of has to do with what I want to talk about with prioritizing your peace and, like, making kind of an intentional schedule in your life to kind of do that. But before I even came to school, I kind of worked out what is everything that I actually want to do, what is the routine that I want to have, and trying to be kind of realistic about it. And now that I've moved in, classes don't start for the first week, so now I'm kind of getting into my routine pre-classes, without classes, and then mid this week classes are going to start, and then, you know, I'll get into my routine with classes and school added as well. So I think I'm doing a really good, like, ease into this new routine, just because I haven't had a set routine in my life for literally 8 months. Last semester I was abroad doing an internship in Singapore. It was very, like, on my own, independent kind of vibe, and then I had the whole summer. So I'm trying to, like, slowly ease myself back into being used to a routine and being able to actually, like, stick to a routine and have the discipline for that. So that's my goal this week when classes start up, is to, like, add that in, take that in, and kind of, like, you know, be successful with it. So let's talk about your peace. How to prioritize your life to protect your peace, how to balance your energy out to protect your peace. The ultimate goal, no matter what your long-term or short-term goals are, or even if you don't have short-term or long-term goals in mind right now, is to feel at peace. I say so often, what matters the absolute most in your life at any moment is how you feel, because that determines how you perceive everything. That determines how you live everything. So I think that no matter what those long-term or short-term goals that you're working towards are, or what you have in mind, or what you want things to be, the goal in the moment is to feel at peace in the moment. Feel content with where you're at. Knowing that, like, things can change. You always have room to grow. You always have these things. There's always going to be things that maybe you kind of deep down, like, wish went differently, or expected to go differently, or wanted to go differently, but finding peace in where you're at in every moment and creating that peace is a lot of what we want to talk about today too. You know, none of us want to feel like our lives are off balance, or we're frustrated or chasing or in fight or flight mode, and I think those are things that happen when we're not feeling at peace. But feeling at peace is a lot easier said than done, because I think that those resistant feelings or more resistant paths come a lot more naturally. Like, I think it's a lot more natural to be in like a fight or flight mode, to be like chasing something or wishing that things were different or frustrated. And so to create peace and protect your peace, you have to be pretty intentional about it. But even being intentional about it is confusing too, because yeah, you can put on a face mask and music and find peace in a moment, but if you did that forever, then responsibilities of life would pile up and create a big roadblock of stress and then ruin your peace in that way.
Well, I don't think, if we're talking like self-care type of vibe, I mean, do what you want, obviously, but like, I'm not someone that's going to be like self-care and then immediately go to like, let me do a face mask or like light a candle type of stuff. Self-care, I'm like, oh, let me like clean the kitchen, because number one, cleaning the kitchen is going to be like therapeutic if you like zone in and clean. Like, love to clean, to be quite honest. And then you're left with a clean kitchen. It's a double duo. But like, obviously, if you want to do a face mask and like light a candle and do the like stereotypical self-care things, you know what I'm talking about? But when I think of protecting your peace, or like taking action to protect your peace, or like put energy into that, I'm thinking kind of bigger stuff that has effects that go beyond just that one self-care action.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, cleaning is an example of that, or journaling, or like going grocery shopping, like taking care of your life shit that also the action itself is going to benefit you, and the effects of the action are going to benefit you as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then there's also those like just feel good in this moment thing, like a little spa moment, like just like reading,
like if you go to get a coffee, even, you know? Oh my god, this is my favorite. I've said it once, I'll say it again. Coffee walk, get yourself a coffee, get like a bakery item if you're down with that. So much packed in there. Number one, it tastes good. Love to love it. That's the action in itself. You get outside, breathing some fresh air, like get that flowing. Mm-hmm. Get your walking, get some movement in, like get that flowing, get your brain going, like get your, I don't know, so many different elements and benefits to that that are self-care in the action and in the reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think finding peace in a moment is great, but if that is all you did is like finding peace in a specific moment or in those sort of things, if you did that forever, then obviously like responsibilities of life and all of these other aspects pile up, and then the stress and the pile up and things that that creates can ruin your peace and then drag you down even like before where you started, right?
That's what I'm saying. So I think it's
having those things in your life, but then how do you realistically keep that peace with everything else that goes on too? Or like, if you focus solely on yourself and you're finding peace just within yourself, then eventually you're going to feel a lot missing by not having other people in your life and not having fulfillment in that way. And then that ruins the peace too, because now you have to kind of work extra hard or work through frustration or work through loneliness to bring that element back into your life. Or if you try to find peace in an escape or a distraction, like the TikTok sound that's like, hope you found peace with yourself.
Oh, that's such a, like,
boyfriend won't fill, I don't know the trend,
actually. But, like, that sound is really calming. Like, I love the song.
Yeah, I know. But it's so true. It's, like, something that is more of a distraction, or you're, like, it's almost an escape and you're finding peace in that. Yes, that can be peaceful in the moment, but it's a very temporary thing that if you don't have contentment in everything else, like if you're distracting yourself with that because that's the only thing that's feeling positive, right, then like when every time you come out of that, it's just going to feel more and more empty, more and more stressful, more and more like everything else is piling up.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's a very temporary thing. And then, I mean, even having the expectation to find peace feels like a force in itself, you know? So it's a very
right, but I feel like thing. Wait, let me talk about that. The like pressure to find peace.
Yeah.
What is your reason for doing so? Is it so that you look like you have yourself put together, or that like other people see, are they external? Mm. Is it like for external validation or like support, or is it just because it feels good?
I think most of the time, if you're like actually looking for peace in your life, like it really is for you.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So like, I feel like a lot of people are maybe stuck
on the wrong reasons, and that's why you feel a lot of pressure.
Mm. Or not even reasons, but I think it's a little bit more vulnerable to actually, like, look within yourself a little bit and, like, rely just on yourself. But it's not even relying just on yourself, because here's where that becomes complicated. You also don't want to just be alone and just be by yourself, because mm-hmm. then you're missing another aspect of your life. So it's so layered. And just the putting the expectation on yourself even to find peace, then it almost feels like this big task and a project and like a force in itself. And then I think that our human nature and tendency to do that, at least for myself as somebody who is a big, like, if I give myself a goal, I'm impatient with it, you know? Or if I want to take something on, it's like I want to be, like, I just get dialed in on that right away. And so I think that you can't really be that way when you're looking to, like, find peace, because peace is not a 0 to 100. Peace is finding that contentment within yourself and within mm-hmm. your life, like, as it flows day to day. And so I think that also when you try to force it, it can stop you from ever actually finding it. But then it's like, well, then the fuck do you do? Because how am I supposed to say that's what I want, but then not, like, go for it and force it, you know? And it's difficult. And again, it's just another thing that Catherine and I are, like, figuring out ourselves and flowing through ourselves too. It's not a very, like, factual, here's exactly what you're going to do kind of thing, but it's like, here has been our paths or journeys with this so far, and kind of where each of us are at, like, independently with it, and each of our thoughts and processes and stuff that might help you as well. Because I think personally, I have moments of peace or time periods that feel very peaceful and content, but they've always been somewhat fleeting. And I think that I've noticed recently that a lot of the time they're either in an escape or they're focused so heavily on one thing that it blocks out other parts of my life. And so then the pushback from that is that other things in my life pile up and then come in and drag me down, and then it ruins the peace. And like, if you're a longtime listener, you know, I say quite often that I feel like my life and maybe even mental health, but like that peace and contentment feels very up and down for me. And I think that it's because I usually find it kind of in one thing, because I have so many things going on in my life, I'll like latch on to one thing and
or
then,
like, derive your value or peace from that one thing at a time.
And it's not even the same thing all the time, but
not just from like the overarching vibe. I feel like you should, I mean, we'll talk about this with my ratio theory that I've said quite literally every episode. But if you just, like, focus on not deriving it from one thing in particular and, like, concentrating it, but expanding it so it's just an overarching, like, am I content? Am I at peace? Am I doing well? Yes, no. Not, like, is this good? Or just, but, like, the overall vibe. And we can get into that with the ratio. Mm-hmm. But thinking macro, if that's there on a macro level, if you're feeling good on a macro level, if you're at peace on a macro level, then all the different little micro facets like work, school, the gym, social life, the facets that make up your life don't all have to be so concentratedly good at once, so extremely overwhelmingly positive. When I feel like when you do derive your value from just one thing at a time and it's concentrated like that, it needs to be abundantly, overwhelmingly good rather than just, oh yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. When everything can just be like good or what it is.
Yeah, it
you
doesn't
know?
Need to be extremes. It can just be the vibe. And honestly, if you have five, so say you have five areas of your life, school, work, social, gym, personal.
Mm-hmm.
Say there are five areas. I don't care what they are. Having all five of them be neutral to good is worth so much more than having one of them be extremely overwhelmingly
perfect.
Amazing.
Yeah. And all the rest falling behind.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what it does. And that's what I've noticed in myself, especially like this summer. Anytime we've gone on a trip or on a vacation, like when we went to LA, when we went to Costa Rica, I almost have like escaped everything else in my life. Like I've been so zoned in on that, on like being social, on doing that and being that, almost like in an avoidant way to anything else. Like I would just kind of ignore like anything else in my life, and then I
like
came
straight
back.
Ignore it. So yeah. It's not just, oh, this is working at 60% instead of
80%
right now. It's just, it goes straight to zero. It was like 100
and then other things go to zero. And every time I would kind of come back from that, and like I would have a great time because I would feel so present in like what I was focused on then. But I would come back and I would have this like so much like overwhelm, like so many overwhelming feelings, so many like feeling so weighed down because everything else had just piled up and piled up, like work and life and other things. Just, I gave them absolutely no space because I thought if one thing's going to be 100, I had a hard time, or like if one thing was going to be like 1,000, you know, not even, then I had a hard time keeping anything else there at all. It was very zoned in, and I was finding that peace in a great way, in something that was valued, but in escaping everything else as well. And so I think to feel that really long-term peace can't be through an escape like that. I think it has to be through prioritizing your life or balancing your life in a certain way that works and it flows. And that's what we want to talk about today, how to prioritize your life and figure out that energy breakdown to have more peace consistently.
Okay, so the ratio theory. I feel like I kind of went over it. And if you guys have been listening, like, you know what I'm talking about here. But your life, so picture that as like a pie chart. That's your life. And you've got like blue is social life, red is career, blah, 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 blah. You got all your different facets of life moving around that thing. And they're moving. Because there's 100% to work with. And you can have all of them in there at once. Nothing ever goes to zero. But they need to kind of ratio out. And if school or work is taking more energy or is more demanding of you in that time, then that pie chart expands. That takes up more of the 100%. And the other ones adjust to what they need. So the ratio is kind of always moving. And it doesn't need to be a 1-to-1-to-1-to-1. They don't all need to be the same. They shouldn't all be the same because different areas of your life need different things in different amounts and require different things from you. But if you think short term, you see that ratio as like maybe it's like 100-to-2-to-5-to-1. I just made that up. Don't know if those numbers even make sense. But maybe that's the ratio that moment of that day that you're looking at it or thinking about it. Maybe the pie chart is 50% blue and 10% red and 1% green and blah, 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 blah. That's what it is that day. And then 1 week later, it's going to be 5% blue and 10% red and blah, blah, blah.
Maybe not 1 week later. That might be kind of drastic. No,
yeah, but like, well, you know, you get the thing. Each time you check in that snapshot of a moment, it's going to change. The ratio is going to be different. But long-term overarching in a year, in a month, think longer time periods, all of those facets are there and have been there. And even if it goes down to 5% or the ratio shifts and skews so that something is getting less in that moment, it's getting less. It's still getting something. It's working in the background. It still exists.
Because, like, imagine if you're in a relationship. Then that takes up a lot of your energy and a lot more of your energy than when you would not be in a relationship. You know? That's just one example that came to mind of something that naturally, like, would take more energy and take more percentage. And then at another point in your life, it might take a very small percentage if you're not in a relationship or you're, like, not dating at all, right? I've always considered that it's, like, a hobby. Like, people, I feel like dating is a hobby. It's literally a hobby because it takes up a chunk of your time and of your energy. But that's, like, kind of a natural ebb and flow that I thought of.
Yeah, so in that moment, something requires more. The other parts of the ratio shift and adjust to make it all aligned. Long term, though, all those different parts of the ratio are there, have been there, will still be there. And long term, they all fulfill to those greater amounts. And the same thing, if you have all facets of your life at neutral to good, balance it out, you get more out of life than if you have four facets at bad and one at extremely, extremely good. Like, you get more out of it if you balance the ratio rather than just, like, putting everything to shit. That's the ratio theory.
Mm-hmm. And I, in my own way, interestingly enough, have kind of defined that myself in a different way. I think it's interesting how, and Catherine and I, sometimes I think we think about things very similarly, and sometimes I think we think about things very differently, but I think conceptually, like, we understand the same things. Mm-hmm. And, like, overall, we...
I think it's just, like, the words,
but,
maybe.
Yeah, but then sometimes we kind of, like, define things differently. So I was kind of thinking of that theory kind of in my own way at the same time, and then we went to talk about it, and we were like, oh, I feel like we are telling each other the same thing right now. So I have always been trying to balance a lot of things in my life. There are always just a lot of things that I want to be putting energy into, that I'm passionate about, that I care about, all at the same time. And like I said before, I have a tendency to just, like, hyper focus on things and want to give everything to everything. And so therefore I have had a history of, like, being unrealistic with how much I can actually give and expecting myself to be able to give 100% to everything all at once.
Okay, side note, the ratio theory, mm-hmm, is, it's not that you can't do everything at once. Mm-hmm. It's not that you can't do everything, because you can. It's confirming that you can absolutely do every single thing in life that you want. You just can't do it all at the exact same second in the exact same moment.
At 100%.
That's why you have to think broader, think long term, think adjust that ratio, and in a month everything's going to work out and be far ahead of if you tried to stack everything
at once. Because here's what I was realizing. Like, I was really sitting with myself and thinking about this, because I was like, why does this kind of cycle keep happening to me where I get extremely excited about something and hyper-focused on it, and then, like, I get burnt out by it, and then I get, like, overwhelmed. And I was like, it's because I try to dive into absolutely everything, absolutely 100% all the time, and I can do it for a couple days or a week or something, but then it becomes unrealistic, and then I get burnt out, and then I retract, and then I lose days. You know what I mean? So it's not actually efficient or effective, because then I end up, like, losing days and being on this roller coaster and being down. Mm-hmm. So I was like, what do I have to change about how I approach these things? And it's also absolutely exhausting, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't work, because you don't have 1,000% energy, you have 100% energy. And so that's what I had to be realistic to myself about, is that I legitimately only have a certain amount of time, a certain amount of energy. And when I have 100%, and I try to act like I have 300% and give out 300%, then I'll give 300% out for a week, and then I'll have 2 weeks where I have zero to give, you know?
Right.
And it doesn't work that way. You only ever have 100%.
It's not saying do less.
Mm-hmm. It's saying do the 100% and don't try to do 300%.
Right.
Because then you'll lose zero.
Long term, you're going to end up doing more.
Yeah. If you can find that breakdown. And so that's what it is about for me right now, is being realistic with myself and saying, okay, Caroline, I have 100% total energy. How can I realistically break down 100% of energy into the different categories of my life in a way that makes everything work, makes me feel good about what I'm putting into everything, but that is realistic with my time and protects my peace? Because it doesn't protect my peace when I try to give 1,000, right? But it would protect my peace if I can give 100% of my energy out in a way that is fulfilling, because then it cycles 100% of that energy back to me. And what I mean by that, in this little revelation I had, is that if I have 100% energy, but I try to give 300% out and I give it to all of these different things, then I am absolutely drained. But if I realistically have 100% energy and I can say, I want to give 20% to this work that moves my career forward and makes me feel really fulfilled when I do it, and I want to give 20% to my health and fitness, because that's a realistic amount that I can focus on my health and fitness. I don't have to be 100% health and fitness, but I can give a good 20% chunk and be really great. Like, 20% of my life is focused on that. 20% of my life can be focused on building good relationships with friends and having a social life and having fun, blah, blah, blah. If I can map this out with a realistic percentage of each of these things, then 100% of that energy comes back to me. Because if 20% of my energy is going out to a social life in a way that doesn't drain me and is surrounded by positive people, those people give energy right back to you. And those experiences energize you, and you get that energy back. If you're giving 20% of your energy into work in a way that makes you feel fulfilled, makes you feel proud of what you're doing, and also in a way that, like, furthers your career and brings you money back, that energy is coming right back to you. If you're giving 20% to your health and fitness, that directly comes right back to you. And so if you can space out your energy, 100% of it, in a balance that makes each of those sectors work well in the moment, 100% of that energy comes right back to you. And so when people say, give more energy to yourself, give energy to yourself, I don't think that has to mean just the typical self-care stuff like we were talking about before. I think that giving energy to yourself can be giving some of your energy to other people if it's a social situation that energizes you
as well. If it's shared energy.
Yeah.
If it's like reciprocated.
I think that giving more energy to yourself could be giving more energy to work or school in a way that doesn't burn you out and that makes you feel fulfilled because that energy comes right back to you. But what it can't be is trying to be unrealistic about how much energy you actually have and trying to give too much to each of those things, because then the energy doesn't come back to you, because then that energy is just drained from you and leaves stress. That energy is literally turned into stress and frustration and these resistant things. So like in Catherine's saying, with this ratio, you have this 100% pie chart. You can't make that pie chart bigger. You can't expand that and stuff it more full than it can possibly be. But what you can do is shift those ratios around as, you know, priorities naturally change and things come in and out of your life, or even just as different tasks come week to week. And so you have this pie chart of energy. And if you can balance that in a proper way, and if you cannot try to overstuff it, but if you can also not understuff it, then that 100% is all you.
If you're in college or high school and are looking to build your credit up, then the Ambition Card by College Ave is for you. This is a card that helps you safely build a positive credit history while you are in college.
We talk a lot about financial literacy and making sound financial decisions. Cue literally every conversation we've had on dupes and making smart finance decisions ever. And building a solid credit history helps so much, especially when you can get ahead while you're in college.
The Ambition Card helps you prepare for post-grad living with no late fees, no interest charges, and no credit check to qualify. Making payments on time will help positively impact and build your credit score.
The Ambition Card is specifically designed to help you, not hurt you, and you may not realize how important building a positive credit history while in college is right now, but I promise once you've graduated and are looking into renting your own apartment, opening a new credit card, starting a business, asking for a loan for anything, car insurance, getting a new car, your credit history sticks with you and has the opportunity to get you good deals and loans in the future if it's good, which is why I think this Ambition Card is such an amazing opportunity to get ahead of building your credit and start strong.
It's easy to get started. You can transfer money to your account and even set your own spending limit too. You've got money goals and the Ambition Card will help get you there. Check it out at ambitioncard.com. The Ambition Card is issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Results may vary. Credit history is impacted by a number of factors.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
And so here's what I did, actually. I have my notebook right next to me because, like, I was pretty legitimate about, like, mapping this out just because visually that's what helps me a lot. So I wrote down...
Oh, she's locked and loaded with the notes.
I'm locked and loaded. I brought my notebook out. I wrote down 5 categories that I feel like are the biggest categories in my life. And so I said health, and then I said my career, and then I said school, and then I said social life, and then I said direct to myself, because that is also a category too, the things that are just directly to yourself. And so then I said, okay, well, if I have 100% energy, what do I want to give to everything? And I was like, well, I need to be realistic about how much energy school is actually going to take up for me, because I can't say I'm only going to give 10% to school, because that's not realistic, because I actually have hours on hours of classes every week, and then I'm going to have to study. That's a lot more than 10% of my life. So I said school is probably going to be 20% or 25% of my life. Between classes and between studying, 25% of my life I have to give to school. And I think if I gave anything lower than that and I tried to give more to other categories, that would be unrealistic, because school would take up more like 25%, and then I would be overstuffing it. So I think that that was kind of like a realistic percentage. And then I wanted to be realistic about you know, my own personal career, social media, personal training, this podcast, it takes up a lot of my time and it takes up a lot of my energy. So I put another 25% to that, because if I said that that's only 15% of my life and I tried to overstuff something else, then it wouldn't be realistic, because it legitimately does take up 25% of my time. And I know that because I wrote out every single task that I have to do for it and kind of how much time that takes up in my week, similarly to what I did with school. And so I know that school is like 25% of my life, career is going to be like 25% of my life. Now I have 50% that I can kind of dish out as I please. Health is obviously super important to me. And I was like, what does that mean? It means fitness and nutrition. It means that I want 5 solid workouts a week and that I want to have enough time to plan some meals and grocery shop and, you know, meal prep and cook food. And so I thought that if 10% is fitness, 10% is nutrition, then my health takes up 20%. Boom. Now I have 30% left to give out. And my last categories are social and directly to me. And I thought that those should be split pretty evenly, because just being realistic, like, I am in college, I want to have a social life. I want to make sure that I allot enough energy to that so that a social life isn't what pushes me over the edge and then I retract from it. Like, I want to save enough space for it so that I can randomly go to lunch with a friend on a Tuesday, so that I can have a fun weekend out without feeling like I've overstuffed in other categories. And then I have 15% that's directly to myself, and I wrote down things like journaling, skincare, hair care, cleaning my room, doing my laundry, and then also having free time. Like, that's in that 15% as well, is just giving myself free time to intuitively do what I want for myself. And so that's me, like, literally breaking down my life into percentages, because that's just what helps me visualize it, is to put all these tasks down and try to realistically put those percentages out. You don't necessarily have to do that if you can more just, like, understand it conceptually, and especially the way that Incapin was describing it. But if you're somebody like me who, like, mapping it out like that is really going to help you, like, 100% encourage you to do that, because it's given me a lot more clarity about what I can realistically put into everything. And then not feeling here's what I'm saying. If I say that school is 25% of my life, then I'm not going to feel bad if on a weekend or something I'm not studying, because I'm like, it's been my 25%. I don't have to go overboard and do that. I mean, as long as I was, like, efficient when I was kind of doing it and giving my tasks and giving them enough space, right? But I feel like when you're unrealistic and you want to do everything at 100%, then anything less, like, you're gonna feel guilty about, or you're gonna feel like you're missing something or stressed that you're not doing enough for it. Whereas if you're like, no, realistically, this is 25% of my life, it's not 100%, then you're a lot better at kind of stopping at that 25% and letting it be a consistent 25% and be a lot more peaceful. If you're realistic about actually giving yourself a percentage of free space and free time and that area actually just to focus right on yourself, then it also gives you space to kind of have that buffer room and do things more intuitively.
Another thing that came from this concept of protect your peace initially came from, we were talking about plans, like, what are we going to do? Caroline, me, Anna, we were talking about what we were going to do that night and had different ideas. Like, people wanted to do different things a little bit. And then Anna goes, like, do what you want, like, protect your peace. So I'm telling you guys right now, do what you want, protect your peace. Don't do things that you don't want to do. Like, it sounds so simple and it sounds so obvious, but I get it's difficult when it's actually in practice. And I know a lot of people are, maybe you're going back to school, starting a new job, like, whatever it is, like, starting a new chapter or phase of life. There's so much pressure to, yes, say yes to everything, and yes, try new things, and yes, like, do take advantage of the opportunities that are available to you. But you don't have to do things or force yourself to do things that you know you don't want to do. Like, if you don't want to go out that night, simple. If you don't want to hang out with certain people, you don't have to. Protect your peace. Like, you don't have to engage in activities that, or events that may be negative for you. You mm-hmm. don't have to.
And but then if you want to go out one night and stay out till 4 a.m. and stuff because you're having the best time, that's what you want to do.
Do it. Protect your peace and do it.
And it can also change week to week. And Captain and I are, like, the biggest representatives of that. Like, we could...
Well, you guys know last night I feel like I went to sleep at, like, 6. I have no issue.
You knocked out early.
Okay, but this is my thing, because a lot of people, like, we're in college. The culture is, like, go out every night. I like going out. I don't like to go out every night. Like, every single night of every single week.
Because it takes up too much of a percentage. Because
it takes up too much of a percentage of my percentage. Your percentage is going to be totally different if you like doing that. Love to love it for you. Personally, I don't like to do that. We know we like extremes. I will either like to be in bed at, like, 11, tastefully asleep, wake up early the next day, or I'll be up until, like, 6 a.m. having a good time. There's no between. But both of those are because I'm enjoying what I'm doing in that actual moment. And both can be true for you. And both are true.
That is something that can help you find peace, too. Remember that both can be true for almost every situation. Right. You don't have to be one or the other on everything.
Like, personally, I don't like to go out just to go out. And I know that, like, oh, go out and it'll turn fun. But for me, like, most of the time, it's not fun. I feel like it's, like, a quarter of the time. It's super fun. And I live for that quarter. Like, I love that quarter. And those are the quarters that I'll be like, oh, I'm awake at 6 in the morning and, like, stay up the next day. And we're good to go. But I'm not going to force myself to go out if in that moment I don't want to, if it doesn't sound fun in that moment, just because of the potential opportunity of it being fun. Because for me, that doesn't outweigh whatever. And my idea is protect your peace. Don't do what you don't want to do. Don't, like, do what you want to do. Don't do what you don't want to do. Part of that, to say, think long term as well. So number one, check in with yourself in the moment throughout the day, even be like, am I doing what I want to do? Is my peace being protected right now? And if the answer is yes, like, go off. That's great. If the answer is no, like, do something different, adjust, like, do whatever you want. It's your life, move on. That said, if it's like, oh, I really don't want to go grocery shopping right now, but you need food and you want to be eating good food to make you feel good, and the alternative is either you have nothing to eat or, like, order something that may make you feel bad, blah blah blah, and you don't want to do that, but you also don't want to go grocery shopping, go grocery shopping,
right?
Like, in that sense, do the thing you don't want to do, because actually you do want to do it.
Sometimes the things that are actually going to fill your cup are things that could be the harder decision to make in the moment.
This is so unrelated, like, but the term fill your cup bothers me.
Okay, sorry.
No, just in general, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people are using it quite literally no reason, but it bothers me.
But take studying, for example. If you have a test coming up in a course, or just if you're taking a class in general, if you can, you know, consistently do your studying every week, you're not going to want to. You're not going to want to leave class and then sit down with notebooks and study. That feels hard. But what's going to be harder is when you have an exam tomorrow and you haven't been studying for weeks, so you don't feel like you know anything, and then you're so stressed and you're absolutely cramming and you don't probably do very well on the exam, and then you forget everything.
That's a
lot harder, and it makes the hard last a lot longer. A lot.
That's like, oh, do you want to study in this moment? No. Do you need and want to have studied then in whenever you need to take the exam? Yes. So actually, yes, you do want to study, even though you don't, you actually do. Same thing with going grocery shopping. Same thing with going to the gym. Same thing with cleaning your room. Those things, maybe you don't want to do them in that moment at that exact time, but in long term, in general, yes, you want to do them. So you're going to do them.
Okay. I just made such a good connection to kind of what I was saying in the beginning about how you can find peace in avoiding something, but it's only temporary. If you are talking about having a test and studying, you could find a lot of peace with, in the moment, being like, you know what, studying is not what I want to do right now. That sounds hard. I'm just going to give myself some me time and not do it instead, and I'm going to sit and watch TV. That's going to make you feel at peace in that moment because you're avoiding that hard thing. So you're going to feel like you temporarily have this peace. All of a sudden, in 2 weeks, you have an exam coming up, and your level of peace absolutely plummets, and you're overtaken by all of this stress and all of this overwhelmingness and all of this guilt that you didn't do it in the first place, right? So you had the temporary peace in that escape in the moment, and then it led to, like, a way worse fall off later. If in a moment you can say, this thing is going to be hard, but if I can just do it for a minute now or an hour now, then you feel a lot more proud of yourself and actually more at peace in that moment, because, you know, then you can watch your TV after if you can do the thing and you you feel like you have more control over things. You feel like you have things together. You feel like you have the discipline to actually get yourself to do things. And that is a very good feeling. You feel peace in that moment. And then when the exam comes up, you have so much peace because you're just flowing through it. And it feels like it's just coming more naturally, and it's doing it because you were able to do a little bit of the work every time that you had to in the beginning. And so that's an example of how protecting your peace is not just the
immediate,
classic immediate self-care. Sometimes it is doing the harder things. Often it is. That's like health and fitness. Fitness and working out, that is absolutely self-care. Now, but especially long-term, that is literally taking care of yourself. But it's not easy in the moment. And that's why a lot of people can't stay consistent with it, because it's hard to get yourself to do the hard thing. But then everyone talks about, oh, it's the best feeling afterwards. You feel that peace right afterwards, and then you feel that long-term peace build when you are strong and healthy and confident. So oftentimes, building that long-term peace can be, or is, doing harder things in the moment, or just having harder things be a consistent in your life instead of being avoidant, avoidant, avoidant until it becomes really fucking hard, you know? And as we're talking about having 100% energy, having that pie chart to break down, you can give 100% of your energy and focus to what you're doing when you're doing it. But you can't give 100% of your life's total energy and focus to every single thing. But think about that for a second. When I say that you're giving 25% to school, I'm not saying that you're doing your schoolwork at 25%. I'm saying
25% of the time, yes, you give 100%. It's, yes, like the rain. It's like the rain counter.
What's that?
Like on the weather app, it says 90% chance of rain. It actually means 90%. It actually means there's 100% chance that, yeah, 90% of Boston will be rainy.
Yeah, exactly. So you still give 100% of your focus and energy in that moment to what you're doing in that moment. But on the macro scale, as in Catherine explained, there's that different energy percentage breakdown that totally equals 100. So while you can't give 100% of your total self to every single thing you want to do, you can still give 100% of your focus and care to it in the moment that you're doing it. Little mindsets before we let you go that I think will help you to feel a bit more at peace is to let go of who you think you need to be and just be who you are, because a lot of the time our peace is drained when we're just like fighting what is and trying to like fight ourselves and wishing that we were different and wishing that our lives were different. Because you can always like want things to evolve and change, but having peace in this moment also just means that like I can find contentment in what is right now. So let go of who you think you need to be or what you think your life needs to be, and find the peace in who you are and what it is right now. Also, don't use your energy to worry. You got 100% of your energy. Don't give that to worrying. Don't give it to stressing and worrying. Use your energy to do the things you want to do, to trust, to believe, to grow. Put your energy into those positive things. And then finally, don't lose this moment searching for another. Because
did
I think,
you just like,
I pulled a Pinterest quote for that.
Yeah.
I pulled a Pinterest quote for that one.
It was so that, formal.
I know. Because that's like the basis of peace in general, is the presence and that contentment. So don't lose the moment that you're in searching for another, because then you're just pushing things away. You want to find peace in where you're at right now that helps you create peace down the line. But you want to take advantage of every moment that you have.
Alrighty.
And that's what I'm going to leave you with.
Thank you guys for listening. I hope you got something good out of our jumble of speech right there. If you guys do want to like write down your little pie chart for your own good,
that'd be
like
so cool to see.
I don't know, I love when people send in their little like vision boards or lists of like energy givers, whatever we talk about. So if you do that and you want to share with us, obviously we're not going to like share with other people, so but we would love to see that and love to hear from you. If you do want to send that into at Girls with Goals Pod on Instagram, we also have at Girls with Goals Pod on TikTok. And then my Instagram and TikTok, adding Catherine Kinnean.
Mine is at Caroline Kinneen.
And those are all going to be linked below, so you can just click on over. But thank you guys again for listening. Love to love you, and we'll see you next Monday.
Bye.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener Salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.